Stone and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, live today at First Horizon Park, where the Sounds will take on the Louisville Bats. First pitch, 6:35. Great seats still available. In fact, I see the ushers wiping down the seats right now, getting everything ready for first pitch. I see the Louisville Bats out there taking batting practice. So, Tom Brady had a docuseries called Man in the Arena, and it's great. It's on ESPN Plus if you have a subscription. I think they actually show some of the episodes now on ESPN with commercials.
Yeah, but they do.
It is a great docuseries. Now, I love Tom Brady, and so when the docuseries came out, I was like, oh my God, the behind the scenes of the Tom Brady dynasty. I just loved every second of it. But there was a very important episode to me. It's the third episode, and it's called The Edgers. And you would think that's a weird name, The Edgers. And the Edgers were the players of the Patriots, the veteran players that led that locker room that were always trying to get an edge on one another. You showed up at 6 o'clock. I showed up at 5:30. I've got the edge on you. And Teddy Bruschi, Tom Brady, and Mike Vrabel all discussed the edge that the original Patriots dynasty had. Caroline watched that, unbeknownst to me, and made the assumption that I was going to be a pain in the ass for the rest of the week after watching that. And guess what?
And you've been a pain in the ass ever since.
She was right.
Yep.
Because that's just how Mike Vrabel is. In fact, there's one line in it where Vrabel says, I know it sounds like I'm joking, but I'm actually really serious. This week, Mike Vrabel, I think, has been taking shots at players on his own team. And I mean taking shots and sending messages. And think about, again, put yourself back in the edger. You know, wanting to get the edge on the Colts. Wanting to get the edge on the Bills, on the Chiefs, on the Bengals, on the Patriots, on the Broncos. And thinking, boy, are we really doing this right? So Mike Vrabel was asked a follow-up question about, this had to do with Treylon Burks, but I don't know if this was directed at Treylon Burks, but this is what Mike Vrabel said on Friday about guys working outside of the building.
I think it's hard to think that they can recreate, with a trainer, how we do things. And we see that with guys that have come back and started with our off-season program and guys that have joined a few weeks in. It's just different. And I know that they're working and they think that they are trying to get in shape, but that's just not the case. And so that's something that we have to focus on and try to make sure that we're getting some work in. But, you know, with all of them, you know, trying to be as smart as we possibly can, Jim.
So we thought at the beginning of that was about Burks, because the question was about Burks and the subject matter was Burks. But, you know, they think they can work with a trainer. This morning on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Solomon Wilcots, and SiriusXM NFL Radio is a real pat on the behind. You know, I mean, it is a real moment of grab ass. And listening to Wilcots is trying to pump up Vrabel's tires, and listen to what Vrabel has to say.
Malik Willis, he actually quoted you after spending some time with Ryan Tannehill. I know Ryan Tannehill, some of the other veteran players, invited the rookies over to his home for dinner. They took the young players in, began to talk to them about the culture of the team. And Malik Willis came back saying, hey, exactly like Coach Vrabel has said, we're one big family here. These guys made us feel like we're part of a family. Just kind of what more can you say about that in terms of the culture that you want to instill with your players so that it spreads from veterans to younger players so that they get it from day one?
Well, I think it starts with your personality. You know, I think that we're all extremely blessed to be in this position, to be in the National Football League. We want to be grateful for the opportunity because we don't want to be entitled. We want to try to remove entitlement from our organization and our program, the belief that you deserve something for doing nothing. And it starts there. It also, you know, really starts with the connections that we make. You know, we ask everybody to be willing to make a connection with the players and the coaches. And I understand that that's going to happen at different levels.
I mean, the idea of, man, Malik Willis says it's like one big happy family and coach. How great is it? And it's a, yeah, we don't like the guys who are entitled, and that's where you get something for doing absolutely nothing. And then Charlie Weiss, who is one of his coaches at the Patriots, and you talk about patting each other on the rear end during the interview. It was like, how's your family doing? Well, my family's good. How's your family doing? Charlie Weiss asked Vrabel about the offseason program. Listen to what Vrabel said.
Okay, so you got from now until September 11th when you open up at home against the Giants. Basically, what's the layout between now and then? Because I know that you're meticulous. You kind of have this all laid out. How's this laid out between now and then?
Well, we'll finish up here this week with our phase two work, which is great work, which is really my favorite time of the season. The off season is because you get to work with guys that want to be here. Right, this is voluntary. You work with guys that want to be here, that want to focus on technique and fundamentals and conditioning, things that we believe are critical to individual and team success.
Okay, so it's my favorite time of the season because the guys want to be here. I think Vrabel's mad. And I think Vrabel's mad because I think he looks at how he won as a player, which was the edgers, right? You watched 3 hours of film? I watched four. And that's how he won as a player. And his team's not doing what he did. And we hypothesized earlier today about who that could be about. I think it's about Derrick Henry. But it could be about a whole group of players. It could be, here's who I know has talked at voluntary workouts so far. Tannehill, Fulton, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Ben Jones, David Long Jr., Kevin Byard, and I think that's it.
Christian Fulton?
Yeah. I could be missing
and
one
Caleb
or two.
Farley's
there because Vrabel said
spoken.
He's there.
Yeah.
So those guys.
Austin Hooper.
I think it could be a whole group. I think I think it's directed at Henry because I think he's the leader. But I think it could be Henry, Simmons, Landry, and I don't know. These guys might be there.
Dupree.
They might not be. Hooker, LaJuan, Nate Davis. Like, they might be there. They might not be. We have no way of knowing until whenever the first voluntary practice is that's open to the media. But Vrabel's very clearly not happy. And this reminds me of a question that I asked TD and Chris on draft night, which was, after we found out, both sides of the story on A.J. Brown, I asked them, does this kind of open you up more to maybe some questions about the Titans culture? And they were like, yeah, it kind of does. And now you have Vrabel and what he's saying. I mean, I think Vrabel's mad at his team. I think he's either mad at a group of members of his team or he's mad at an individual on his team. But that sounded exactly like the line in the Man in the Arena series where he goes, I know that it might sound like I'm joking, but I'm actually being really serious.
I think that he's either mad or he's setting the standard early. He's setting the expectations early that we expect you to be here. We expect a certain attitude.
Well, it's already late. It's already too late to set the expectation. Because if you're going to set the expectation that we expect you here, but you haven't been here for a month.
Then get here.
It's too late.
We expect you here.
It's too late.
It's not too late. It's May 17th.
It's too late. I think Vrabel's mad. I think Vrabel's
that
frustration.
Nice.
Thank you. I think Vrabel's frustration is that these guys should be doing it on their own. That if these guys, and we've talked about, the Patriot way and the Patriot culture, and that if we're going to do things like the Patriots, they should already be done like the Patriots. I shouldn't have to tell you that you need to be here for voluntary workouts because I contractually cannot tell you that you have to be here for voluntary workouts. This is a choice that you have to make yourself.
And you also know he's mad whenever he interjected those comments when they really weren't solicited.
It's like Joe said last week that the Predators will go out of their way to tell you that nobody expected them to make the playoffs. All the time. It'll be like, so,
yes.
Joe's example was great.
Well, nobody expected us to make the playoffs.
Joe's example was great. He was like, what happened to the penalty kill? Well, we were expected to be third in the Western. And it's like that Vrabel is, here's Solomon Wilcots and these interviews. And I mean, I love SiriusXM and I love, NFL radio and everything. But these interviews sometimes, man, maybe I'm not cut out to do that kind of stuff because I just can't kiss butt like that. I feel so phony. But listening to some of these interviews, where they talk to the guys and they don't ask direct questions, but they ask it like that Solomon Wilcots thing of Malik Willis was talking about how it felt like one big whole family. And I mean, just how great is it to coach that? And how's that? Yeah, we don't want to be entitled. We don't teach entitlement where you get rewarded for doing nothing. It's like, Whoa, he wanted to talk about that.
Not what I asked, but please go ahead.
So here's a question I have. 615-737-1025. Are we worried about the makeup of the Titans? 615-737-1025. Are we worried that the Titans, who I think, you know, are, have the potential to be one of the toughest teams, maybe not one of the best teams, but one of the toughest teams, one of the, you know, most, you know, mentally strongest teams, you know, the things that make the Patriots minus Tom Brady. Do they really have that in them? Or are we worried that this is a team where the star wide receiver wanted $80 million guaranteed and he, like Terrell Owens, got himself shipped out to Philadelphia? That, you know, the running back who's the team leader that had surgery last year and didn't play great in the playoffs, regardless of why, you know, is too busy doing his own thing. He's filming Heisman commercials. He's out in Dallas. He's doing whatever he's got to do. You know, the left tackle's podcasting all the time. Are we worried? The quarterback had renovations. Are we worried about that? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. And if it's Derek, whose side are you on? We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5, the game. There you go. That was Vrabel. Boy, he is not happy about entitlement. You worried about the Titans culture?
I'm not, because of what Vrabel has been saying.
What? So Vrabel's been writing them about not being there. We're convinced that, you know, Derrick Henry's in Dallas right now during voluntary workouts, and Vrabel's highlighting guys working with trainers and entitlement, and
it sounds like he's not going to stand for it.
I mean,
we wouldn't know what would be going on behind the scenes, and we wouldn't know his frustration unless he didn't air it, but he did air his frustration.
But he has no choice. He has no choice. Like, the veiled shots like that, that's all he can do.
Yes.
He cannot go up to those guys and say, hey, I want you here for voluntary workouts.
No coach can.
You can't. Like, you literally will get fined.
I know that.
So he can't do it. So all he can do is what he's saying now. And those guys aren't there, or else he wouldn't be saying it. He's clearly not happy about it.
I know that. He's clearly not happy about it.
But so you're saying
that, about it, you can change it.
But he can't change it.
Not now. But once training camp comes along,
well, they have to go to,
they have to be there.
They have to go to training
camp. He can turn it around.
So you're worried about the culture now.
No.
But you think Vrabel will turn the culture around once training camp starts?
No, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it.
Why?
Because I don't think that Mike Vrabel is going to be the coach of a team with a bad culture.
I think Mike Vrabel's worried that that might be out of his hands.
How is that out of your hands when you're the head coach?
Because I'll give you an example. You ever heard the term lost locker room?
Yes.
You know how that happens? It doesn't happen because a coach is mean on one guy or because the coach isn't. It's when the players start to devalue what the coach has to say. It's when they no longer care or are no longer motivated by what the coach has to say. We went through that with the Predators. That's why Peter Laviolette's not here anymore. And you go back to that press conference, and David Poile was talking about how if I could fire the players, I would. But, you know, I'm trying to change the coach. But what had happened was they had a bunch of young guys that were really hungry, that, you know, made a little bit of money, but not a lot. They got to a cup final. They wanted to go at it again. Then guys started to get paid. Then the league started to catch up. Then they started to lose. Then it was like, man, does Johansson really want to be here? Or is he just collecting a check?
Well, do you think Ryan Tannehill would have shown up if he didn't need to? If he didn't feel like he needed to be there from the push from Mike Vrabel?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Ryan Tannehill put up his Instagram picture on his boat and then denied it having anything to do with it. I don't know.
Then if he really did not want to be there.
Why is Derrick Henry in Dallas?
I don't know.
I mean, that's, see, here's.
Then you can also use the argument of Derrick Henry had a 2,000-yard rushing season in 2020 when he didn't train at the facility.
Right. No, I agree. But I think that what Vrabel, like, I'm worried about the culture. And I'll tell you why I'm worried about the culture. Because everybody wants to be pumped full of sunshine and rainbows. Everybody wants to think, my coach will get this team no matter what. My coach will this, that. Everyone wants to believe that their team, that everybody's buddies, that everybody believes, that everybody's, they all want to believe that.
But, I don't believe that.
But think about what
Vrabel believes that.
Think about what's transpired this offseason. The team had a crushing defeat. And at least they stood behind the quarterback publicly, which was important. But after that, you know, everybody kind of goes their separate ways. And the first big nugget of information that really comes out is, oh, the wide receiver wants to be traded. And, oh, the wide receiver wants all of his money. And then you hear stuff about, you know, oh, well, he wanted $80 million guaranteed or he wasn't going to step into the building. And then, oh, well, he was told he was only getting $16 million. And how's that going to rub off on guys? And then the quarterback doesn't show up for voluntary workouts. And they tried to excuse it, not Vrabel. But there was, you know, a line that was coming out of when it happened about, well, you know, a lot of the veterans aren't there early. This is just, remember, this is just the workouts. This isn't on the field coaching. This is just the strength and conditioning workouts. And so, like, it was trying to be excused away. But I don't think Vrabel was excusing it away. And
I think that's the reason why I'm not overly concerned.
Oh, I'm concerned because what happens if these guys think they're too big for it? You don't bring them back in. They don't start listening again. Like if Derrick Henry thinks, you know what, my way is better than your way, that's going to cause friction. And then
but I just don't see Derrick Henry as being that type of player with that type of attitude.
Of Derrick Henry being like, don't tell me what to do, coach?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know Derrick Henry personally, but I don't think I've ever gotten that kind of vibe from him.
I think the bigger thing, and we were kind of talking to Trevor about this, is what that one person represents. And I use LaJuan as an example here. LaJuan is fine on the team. He's not fine leading the team. Because all the extracurriculars, all the whining, all the penalties, all that, all when you're the leader, guys start to kind of follow that, and you don't want people following that. You want LaJuan to do his own funky thing his way and just, you know, play left tackle, but you don't want, you know, him to lead the team. I mean, you know how embarrassing it is when a guy takes over as interim head coach and strips you of the captaincy?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a signal.
That's a punch.
That was a signal that Mike Mularkey just didn't think that Taylor LaJuan had it in him. And I think we can all agree with that. You know, Byard is the guy that they always laud all the time. The one guy whose contract they restructured, which basically means that they're locking themselves in for more of it, is Byard. And so Byard's there. If Derrick Henry's not there, I feel like Mike Vrabel looks at it not as Derrick won't be prepared to go for the start of the season. I think Mike knows that Derrick will be, you know, will give Derrick Henry the best chance to succeed. But I think he worries about every player on the team seeing what Derrick Henry does and thinking to themselves, well, why can't I do what Derrick Henry did? And it's hard to argue, right?
It is.
You can't look at every player and say, well, you're not Derrick Henry.
And you can't make exceptions for every player because once you start making exceptions for every player, then you have no standard. You have no rules. I understand that. But I don't know if it's Vrabel. I don't know if it's the time of year that I just don't feel overly concerned about the attitude or the culture of this team.
You want to be a Patriots team, but you don't want to do things the Patriot way?
I never said I wanted this to be a Patriots team.
No, but they want it to be a Patriots team.
Yes, they do.
You can, the way that they're trying to build it, you can't win if you're not a Patriots-style team. Like, you can't all of a sudden say,
well, then
all right, let's
be. That's why I think Mike Vrabel is coming out and doing everything he can do, riding up right up to the line to get his guys in.
You can't be like, all right, let's just be like Jerry Jones Cowboys and get Michael Irvin doing all that cocaine at wide receiver.
Who is doing that?
You can't do it, though. That's the problem.
But
you
who
can't,
is doing it?
But again, guys that aren't all bought in, led by the team. The team does the leading. The coaches don't hold you accountable. The fans don't hold you accountable. The team holds you accountable. And if you're not getting that, you can't, this is not the style of organization that you wanted. And then you have to get those guys out and bring new guys in. That's like the whole Rishard Matthews thing a couple years ago, where Rishard Matthews felt so disrespected by Matt LaFleur telling him he had to earn his spot back. And Vrabel and Robinson were trying to be like, dude, it'll be fine. Just go to practice. Mm-hmm.
Do your thing.
Wink, wink, go get your spot back. But they couldn't tell him. And he's like, no, I want my spot back. And they couldn't tell him that they're going to give him his spot back because that's not how this organization is built. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Get back to practice and don't worry about it. Nope, I'm leaving. And they could not say, and this team needed him at wide receiver. They could not say to him, hey, dude, you're going to get your spot back. They can imply it, but they couldn't say it. Because saying it would be, hey, you know, we're giving things away to you. We're giving you special treatment here because, you know, you're kind of crazy and we don't want to deal with it. And that wouldn't have worked. And I just look at this team and everything's about the team. And every time that they answer a question, they do what's in the best interest of the team, which is the Patriot way, which is the way that you, that was the explanation when Bill Belichick decided to start Tom Brady over Drew Bledsoe was Mr. Kraft puts me in charge of the team and I have to do what's in the best interest of the team. And at one point in that press conference, Belichick spelled the word T-E-A-M out. And maybe I'm Tom Jackson in all this because after the Patriots cut Lawyer Malloy and there was a big, you know, a lot of people were upset about it. Mm-hmm. Tom Jackson went on TV and said they hate their coach. And that led into this whole thing of like, you know, screw Tom Jackson. And they kind of galvanized the team over those Tom Jackson comments. Apparently, when they won the Super Bowl that year, Belichick got on the set for ESPN to do an interview after the game. And, you know, Tom Jackson was on the set.
Yeah.
And so Tom Jackson said like week four that year that he had said, you know, they hate their coach. And the Patriots never let that go. So Belichick, you know, 6 months later is up on the stage and everybody's shaking hands and everything else. And Belichick looks at Tom Jackson and says, screw you. But he didn't use the word screw. And so he gets up there and tells, you know, Tom Jackson. But like, that's the thing is I don't know, but I'm worried because the way the Titans are built is this team, they need to be there. They need to be there. Derek needs to be there. If it's LaJuan, he needs to be there. If it's Dave Davis, he needs to be there. If it's Amani Hooker, they need to be holding each other accountable.
Well,
and
we
it
don't
makes
know.
Me
we,
worry.
I mean, we can assume that Derek Henry's not there because of the Instagram thing, but do we know that Taylor LaJuan is not there, that Nate Davis is not there?
I'm just, if it's the whole group that Vrabel's talking about, I'm talking about all of
them.
Like, even if he is there, he needs to be there. Like, Tannehill's there, and he needs to be there.
And he should, yes.
They need to be there. And the AJ contract left a really bad taste in my mouth about how that all was handled. And I don't mean by the team. I mean by AJ. I mean by the fact that, you know, I won't step in the building if I don't have a new contract. That does not fly here. That does not fly here. And you can do that with Jerry Jones. Ezekiel Elliott went to Cabo a couple years ago. Zeke was holding out for his money. Remember, Zeke was working out in Cabo.
On the beach, yeah.
He was working out. And what ended up happening? Jerry ended up writing that check to Ezekiel Elliott because that's how the Cowboys operate. That's how the Chiefs operate. Here, it's like, you want more money? Like, okay, everybody wants more money. You want to negotiate in public? Goodbye. And that's how these kind of organizations operate. So, honestly, yeah, I'm worried about it. 615-737-1025. We went long there. Me just worried about Vrabel's words and what they mean. To your phones next. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company, I promised phones. So phones we will do. 615-737-1025. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Aiden is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Aiden.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I was wanting to say about the whole culture thing, I don't think the Patriot way is to say that you're not going to mentor someone young on your team. That doesn't seem like something that would be accepted if it was to say Tom Brady back on his Patriot days, if he were to say that he wasn't going to mentor some younger guys. Thank you for taking my call. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day.
You're the best, Aiden. Thank you for your call. I actually think that would be perfectly accepted by the Patriots.
Do your job.
Yeah, that's all they care about is just do your job. And that's been Belichick's thing for forever. And, you know, what was it that I went and found it in the book? Did I highlight it? I can't remember. But it was, I think I did highlight it in the Seth Wickersham book. And Floyd had told me this years ago, but like the actual, like the stories of who it was and what it actually was didn't actually add up. But the premise was the same, which makes me think that it was the same story, just details, you know, like
right.
Game of telephone.
Right.
Here's the Seth Wickersham book about the Patriots. So this is 2007. In camp, safety Brandon Merriweather, a rookie first-round pick out of Miami, lined up over Wes Welker. He told the Boston Herald it was an honor to cover, quote, one of the best slot receivers in the league. An innocuous compliment. But in a team meeting the next day, Belichick read the quote aloud and said, quote, Brandon Merriweather thinks Wes Welker is one of the best slot receivers in the league. How the blank would Brandon Merriweather know? You don't know anything, so shut the blank up. You know, it's kind of like, you don't know, just do your freaking job. And so when it comes to that whole mentor thing, first off, I thought Vrabel did a pretty good job of quashing it this morning on with Charlie Weiss, who was all mad about it, you know, which made no sense to me that Charlie Weiss got so mad about it because, I mean, did he expect Bledsoe in 2000 to mentor the sixth-round pick Brady, or do you think that he expect Bledsoe to do his job to get ready to beat the Colts and the Jets and the other teams?
From the sounds of it, he thought that Bledsoe should mentor Brady.
From the thoughts of it in reaction to Tannehill's comments.
To Tannehill's comments about
20 years later.
Yes. Because if he's going to apply the same logic with Tannehill and Malik Willis, then yes, he probably would have expected Drew Bledsoe to mentor Tom Brady. But to the caller's point, didn't Tom Brady lock Jimmy Garoppolo out of the weight room?
Yeah, no, he locked him out of TB12.
Out of TB12.
So he had an appointment for his shoulder to go to TB12, and they locked him out of it. And only once a Patriot staffer confronted Brady about it that they ended up Jimmy at TB12.
Not mentoring. That's like going out of his way to be rude.
I mean, I think it's fair to say, like, Brady hates Garoppolo.
Oh, yes.
Like, the evidence is obvious, right?
The fact that the masses think that Jimmy Garoppolo is that MF-er, yes, he hates Jimmy Garoppolo.
Tried to take his job.
And then he went to San Francisco, which is where Brady is from.
So a lot of people think that that was Bill's way of sticking his middle finger to
Tom.
Yes. So, again, the way it worked was that they drafted Garoppolo. Tom was mad about it.
Yeah.
Then Tom wanted the commitment from Kraft. Garoppolo was a free agent, and there was a lot of talk that the Patriots could franchise tag Garoppolo. In fact, a lot of people think that it was Adam Schefter that told, or that Belichick told Adam Schefter. You know, Schefter went on TV and had just the stupidest comment. Or maybe he went on WEEI, and he said the Patriots wouldn't trade Garoppolo for 4 number one picks. And like,
that's just ridiculous.
Everybody was like, what? But there was like a thought that they could franchise Garoppolo and keep Brady at the same time. But Jimmy's contract was coming up and they had to do something. And that's when Brady went to Kraft and Kraft told Belichick to trade Garoppolo. And so it, like, Cleveland had offered a first round pick in the spring of that year for Garoppolo. And Belichick said no, and he took a second round pick at the deadline from San Francisco, and the thought being that Bill got him as far away from Bill as possible, so you'd have to go to the Super Bowl to see San Francisco.
Right.
And B, you know, as a middle finger to Tom of, hey,
this is the team you grew up rooting for.
Yeah, I'm sending him where you want to play.
Yeah.
And then Brady, when he was a free agent, talked to Shanahan, and they considered switching to Brady, and they ultimately decided to stay with Garoppolo. And so it's obvious, Brady hates Garoppolo. I never, ever expect Ryan Tannehill to hate Malik Willis that much. What else we got in the text line?
One texter texts into the text line and says, Derrick Henry can do whatever the hell he wants to do as long as he's at Nissan Stadium on September 11th, ready to go.
And if you ran your team like Andrew Reid runs the Chiefs, that would be fine. But that's not how this team's run. You know, this team is different. This team is one of those Patriot teams. And those Patriot teams, and I know we just talked about Brady's transgressions, but once you stop listening to the coach, I'm reading Mike Florio's book right now, Playmakers. It's okay. Like, I kind of expected more juicy details from someone that is quote-unquote as plugged in as Florio is.
More tea.
It's just like recapping old stories or supplying details that I didn't know, but not like secret details. You know, not like this Brandon Merriweather story. It's just like, I didn't know that Ben Roethlisberger got in a motorcycle accident and lied about the injury. Like, I'm sure a lot of people
it's
know
not
that.
Juicy.
But I didn't know about that. But it's not like they're not direct details either.
Yeah.
It's okay. But basically, the theory was that Brady took less for all those years to save money on the cap, not because Brady wanted to have the money for all of his teammates for them to go get a better team around him, but that Brady took less because he didn't want to give Belichick a reason to cut him. That he was as afraid as what happened to Drew Bledsoe would happen to him. So by doing that, if you always look like you're helping the team out, then they can never come to you and say, we got to cut you because you're making too much money, when the opposite is true. So my whole point is we talk about losing the locker room or the coach, you know, his voice going stale with the team. And I think that all changed for Brady after they drafted Garoppolo, when it was like, screw Bill. And I know they won another Super Bowl, you know, that 18 season they won the Super Bowl, but it kind of had a different feel after the comeback against Atlanta when Brady went to Belichick and was like, I'd like a contract until I'm 45. And they were like, no. And then that was kind of when the screw Belichick stuff started happening. Mm-hmm. And then they lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl and Gronk retired. And then they won that one. Then Gronk retired. Then it all fell apart. Like, it kind of felt like Brady at the end was kind of tuning the coach out at that point. And he didn't go to voluntary workouts anymore because mm-hmm. he was mad at the coach. And so that's when the Jimmy stuff was going on. So before that, Brady, model citizen, took less because he was afraid to be, you know, he was afraid that the team would get, the team would find a reason to cut him, and he didn't want that. So it's very long-winded way of not saying much there, apparently, for me. What's next?
Another texter says, the coaches were the reason Derrick Henry got hurt in the first place. They overused him to cover their stupid mistakes on the field.
So I do not believe that UC Saros got hurt because of overusage, and I do not believe that Derrick Henry got hurt because of overusage. I might be wrong. I'm not a doctor, but I do not believe that.
Well, I think that Derrick Henry's carries were independent of his foot injury. I think that was a weird turf thing.
I thought that bullcrap turf in Indianapolis is what caused that.
And I think with UC Saros, it was a weird thing that his ankle just moved in the wrong direction or it got caught in the net, whatever it was. Yes, I think that both of those two were probably overused and that the way that they were used was unsustainable, but I don't think that the injuries are necessarily associated with the overusage.
So I would say that, like, Saros stinking it up down the stretch was a product of the overusage.
Yes.
I do not believe that the ankle had anything to do with the overusage. 615-737-1025. We will get back into your phones. Plus, Mike Vrabel apparently had to rip the rookies this morning. We'll tell you how next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. There you go, this morning on SiriusXM. So the rookies leave the towels on the floor in the training room, and Vrabel is late for his SiriusXM interview this morning because he had to have a team meeting, and he had to lay into the rookies. And I'm going to agree 100% with Charlie Weiss when he said that the way Vrabel explained it is not probably how it actually went down.
I'm laughing because he gave you the G version of what happened this morning.
Yeah, pick your stuff
up. But I guarantee you it was the X version what they heard. They didn't even hear the R version.
I mean, I will say this about Vrabel. I'm not really intimidated by Vrabel. Now, he could beat me up, but like he never would. Like an NFL coach is not going to fight a loudmouth talk radio host. So I'm not really worried about that.
Never say never.
I mean,
you say some crazy things.
Yeah, but like if Mike Vrabel did, like, I mean, he'd get fired.
And maybe arrested.
And I would sue him.
Yes.
Like, so I don't, like, I'm not worried about Mike Vrabel fighting me, if that makes any sense. But so I'm not like intimidated to ask Mike Vrabel an uncomfortable question. I'm also not like if I were to ask him an uncomfortable question and he were to like berate me for it, like I would sit there and I'd be like, why are you so mad? You know, or whatever. But boy, I bet those rookies are scared out of their mind.
100%.
They left those towels on the floor and Vrabel freaking just gave them the business.
Oh, and I'm sure just totally unleashed on them. Every F-bomb was flying.
I bet it was like a 1 minute need to know discussion. And Vrabel moved on. And the other thing I would say about it is this. If I were those rookies, I would not do that again.
Oh, absolutely not. And
or
I think
Vrabel
that's
will be really
the entire
mad.
Intent of Mike Vrabel to just absolutely unload on them is do not let it happen again.
I hope these rookies are good guys. I hope they're not, you know. And again, like, I get it. These guys have never played in the NFL in their lives. They've never done anything like this. The idea of picking up your own towels in the NFL, like, isn't that what the NFL's about? Like, I'm not supposed to pick up my own towels. I'm in the NFL.
Yeah, they probably think that they're the coolest things in town. And it's a towel on the floor. Like, I have no reason to question someone's integrity or their personality because they left a towel on the floor in the locker room.
No, but I hope they're good guys.
But small things do turn into big things.
In this organization that is not a Cowboys, Jerry Jones organization, In this organization, the little things do seem to matter. I promised phone, so let's go back to him. 615-737-1025. What do we have?
One texter texts in and says, Derrick Henry can do whatever he wants. We all know that he's going to be in shape, and no amount of practice is going to tell you if he's going to be the same Derrick Henry that he was pre-injury.
So I just think that these people that are saying this stuff about Derrick Henry have never played on a team before. Like, they've never played a team sport in their life, and that includes high school. Because Derrick Henry can do this on his own. But just because you can do it on your own doesn't mean that you should do it on your own. And it doesn't mean about the message that it sends to the team. You know, Belichick, even though it's voluntary and the coach isn't really allowed to tell, in the Seth Wickersham book, Brady and Giselle built this new house. Floyd was amazed. They built this mansion house in Los Angeles. And then maybe like a year after they moved into it, they sold it to Dr. Dre for like $50 million bucks. And he was amazed at how big and just how huge this house was.
The behemoth of a house.
And so for that voluntary program, Giselle wanted to stay out there. So Brady stayed out there and he worked out there and he did all that kind of stuff. And Bill eventually was like, dude, Tom, like, we need you around the guys. Mm-hmm. Like, we need you around.
You're the quarterback.
Guys. And so Brady begrudgingly was like, okay, fine. And then he built that Brookline house. And then he sold that house to Dr. Dre. And then he moved out back to Boston. And until he got mad at Belichick, he went to all the voluntary stuff. There's a story that Daron Harmon told. I forget where I read it. But I think he's on the Raiders now. But Daron Harmon was a longtime Patriot defensive back.
Uh-huh.
And he got drafted by the Patriots in like the fourth or fifth round. And the story is that he's just signed his contract, or it was rookie minicamp or something like this time of the year. And he's in the bathroom using the urinal. Tom Brady stands up and walks to the next urinal right next to it. And as they're both using the urinal, Tom Brady goes, hey, Daron, I'm Tom. And he's like, hey. And he's like, yeah, man, I saw we drafted you in the fifth round. I saw all the things you did at Rutgers. You know, I'm really excited to have you on the team. Like, super awesome. If you need anything, let me know. And again, this is all going on at the urinal between Tom Brady and Daron Harmon. So when they're done, and I would assume and I hope that they both washed up. After that, Daron Harmon said that he went to his locker and he grabbed his phone and he called his then girlfriend, who is now his wife. And he was like, oh, my God, Tom Brady knows who I am. And there's like an element of that that you want. That is, if Brady is going to do this, then I have to do this. And in this team, and in this locker room with this team, Derrick Henry's that guy. Where I think that if Derrick Henry carries himself a certain way, I don't just think it's about Hassan Haskins, but I think it's about the entire team looking up to Derrick Henry. That it's Nick Westbrook-Akina looking up to Derrick Henry. You know, just because a guy plays a different position doesn't mean that you can't be friends with him or that you can't look up to him. And I think that Vrabel, and again, I'm, you know, making the assumption with no evidence that it's Derek that he's talking about, but I think he wants Derek there. And I get why he wants Derek there.
And I think he wants everyone there. I mean, Derek Henry's not alone in that.
And I bet Vrabel just feels so powerless because there's nothing he can do to make them be there for voluntary.
I mean, I think he's doing everything he can do.
The old days, like, voluntary was mandatory and everybody knew it. Now, we live in this new, weird, you know, sports is different now. Where, and I think life is different in this sense of, like, if you're an employee, I think, like, in my dad's generation and especially, like, my grandfather's generation, like, if the boss told you to do something, you absolutely did it no matter what.
And there's no dress code, really. Like, back in the day when people wore suits and ties and dresses
everywhere.
And heels, I used to wear joggers to work.
Everywhere.
Like, no dress codes. I think overall things are just less intense.
But I think there's more of, like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And then the employer's like, what do you mean you're not going to do that? It's like, I'm just not going to do it. I just don't want to. And it's like, what? Because, again, like 40 years ago, I mean, people were never doing stuff like that. And now it's just like, yeah, I don't want to play for this team anymore. I just won't show up. What? And before, like, society used to look down on that stuff. Like, a guy would threaten a holdout and be like, oh, bad guy.
But now what happens? And
now
it's like,
hey,
okay.
Dude's got to get his money now. He's got to get his money. Elijah and Michelle are coming up next with the six. Elijah was sitting in for Ian today. So, Elijah, what is coming up today on The Six?
We're going to dip into a little bit of that Preds press conference that's going to be taking place on Thursday. What exactly do the people of Nashville need to hear about this team moving forward? And what does it say about the future, as well as what you guys just talked about here? What's the culture with the Titans like, and how? What's the worst chewing out you ever got for anything like leaving towels on the floor in locker rooms? A lot of fun stuff leading up to Celtics and Heat in game one tonight, which will come on right after us.
I'm going to say this. I worked for Jeff Walls in college, so I got some serious chewing outs in my life now. I mean, I love that man, but I got some serious chewing outs. And I will say this. I deserve like 99% of them. So, but boy, did I get chewed out sometimes. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. Elijah and Michelle are coming up next on that Preds press conference. Stillman and Company. We'll see you tomorrow at 2.